You're listening to Rafael Skeet on the Caribbean Radio Show with sports, chat, and more.
Hey, we're back this morning. We had technical difficulties, man. So it's one of those things where we had to find out what's going on, reboot everything. So now our show is starting from, instead of 8 o'clock, we'll be on at 8:30 until 9:30. So we're just trying to make sure everything's fine, everything's going well. Sorry about the delay, man, and we're good to go. First, before we start, man, we want to make sure, let everybody know that our special guest that we have the last 2 weeks, Ms. Rhoda Arendelle, have lost her mom. So as part of the CRS radio and the sports chat, we would like to send out a deep condolence to her and let her know that we're thinking about her and her family. I think she passed away yesterday with sad heart. I'm sitting here knowing I've known the lady for a very long time, growing up in Isle of St. Martin. And it's sad that she lost her mother. And our deepest sympathy again go out to the mother, to the daughter, Rhoda Arendelle, and her mother and her whole entire family. It's kind of weird to know that sometimes you see people today and they're gone, and we just have to know that we got to take life very seriously. We have to live the life to the fullest and enjoy every last minute of. Dixon, I don't know if you heard what I was saying earlier. I said that Ms. Rhoda Arendelle lost her mother yesterday, so we wanted to say condolences.
Oh yes, deepest regrets and condolences. I got the tail end, and I know her mom been fighting the battle for a while, and up and down. So I kind of sympathize with her. I kind of know what she's going through. Me going through the situation to her granny. So it takes a lot out of the people that you care for. It's like with Rhoda, it probably drains her a lot. Just the day to day, and for months and months, makes you. They always say when you care about somebody that's sick or have cancer or some disease, some illness, it affects the people that. Not even sick, but you get the same. You feel just as bad as people that you're caring for. So I can contest, and I know she's a good lady. Was Arendelle. I just wish her and her family, her daughter and her son, the best. Hopefully everything. She probably needs some time just regroup and chill out. So hope you feel better, Miss Arendelle. Hope everything's good. Mr. Skeety Skeet, how are you, man? I see you pushed me back to 8:30 tonight, man. You don't want me to come
out
early, man?
Technical difficulty. Somehow, my co-host, I'm surprised that he was early ready to go, even before I got the system going. So that's kind of, that's kind of surprising. Usually my co-host always a little falling behind. I'm talking about you, right? So
hey man, because I was tired today. I said, he going to fuss me. I said, let me push myself. I got some scores wrote down. I've been from yesterday. All these March Madness thriller games, I got everything written down. I'm like, I can't get on the show. I was like, he forgot the cool card. He probably forgot what time he's got. Hey, 6 years ago, you did the same stuff, man.
Hey, Mr. Reed had to come into the system, man, and help me and help the sister. I don't know what it was. I saw when you came in, but I couldn't hear you. I wasn't even there. My connection wasn't there. I don't know what's going on today, but the last two weeks everything was flowing real nice. Sometimes you need the little hiccups for you to learn what's going on.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna
bring in a very familiar person that you're very familiar with. I'm gonna bring him in. And then we could talk, and you can get the scores and highlights, and then we go from there. So I want to introduce. This is a funny thing, Dixon. We spoke to this gentleman many times last week. I mean, the last 6 years, and we talked to his son, and his son was giving us these crazy mornings. He'd wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, work out, and loving it, and telling us how much he loved the sport. And he wasn't pushed by dad, But now you look at him and you see the damage he's doing at Florida State. It's crazy because we all feel like we're a part of him, We all feel like we're a part of that young man. DMs, and you know, I wanted to bring on Dad and just chit chat with him a little bit and just bring back old memories. Mr. Ross, welcome to the morning show. I mean, to the sports chat. That's it, morning.
Hello, guys.
Going crazy. Sports chat. How you been doing, man?
How's it going? Okay, been doing fairly well.
Hey, Skeet, you had a birthday, Skeet, yesterday. So happy belated birthday, Mr. Ross. Returned.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Hold that. Hold that for me. But Ross, has been a while It's been a while since we talked again. Happy birthday. But what's been going on, man, for the past 6-7 years? What's been going on with you, man? And tell us, I know last time we spoke, I think you're a married man now. And now you're empty nester, right? Because son is gone too. So what's going on with
That's
you?
Right.
Tell us a little bit what you've been up to.
Okay, I think the last time we talked, I think it was a little bit more than 7, because I remember I was in Kissimmee and we actually did an interview while I was coming actually from a baseball practice. I think it was around 10 at that time, he talked about the three words. He's talking about commitment, perseverance, and hard work. And that's what he still stands on those three words right there. He also added some things with him about, you know, just go out there and prove, you know, make a difference, you know, 1%, you know, try to improve in something 1%. As we think about him, I have seen him grow not only just in baseball as a person itself, about how he sees the overall aspect of life and the importance of making a name for yourself and being the best that you can do. I definitely see that. Within the 7 years, I think the last time we talked, he was able, you know, fortunate to work out and try out for FTB, Florida Travel Ball, and that's what really got him exposed. And, you know, he was with the elite guys, you know, playing, and that pushed his level of game and, you know, his awareness forward. And then, you know, as in high school, his last year, I think he batted like 482 or something like that. He also was player of the year his last year. Played varsity ever since he was in the eighth grade. So, and then, you know, real blessed to go to Florida State on a full scholarship. First year, he missed 18 games due to injuries, had two different injuries. You know, he's a go-getter. Y'all been keeping up with him. I'm proud of him. After every game, we talk and text and, you know, go over things. And I think this is a blessing that, like you said, all of y'all have seen the growth, but just by all of y'all being in that corner, I really appreciate all the support.
Yeah. The one thing I would like this year, man, if you get us a ticket so we can all go see a game, man. We were supposed to do that last year, man. It'd be a sophomore, man. He'll be gone pretty soon, man. He'd be out of there prior to this year, so we need to go get a ticket so we can go watch him play. I mean, I know it's hard to get those Florida State tickets, but we got to find a way to, you know, make a couple phone calls and try to get us some, you know, some stickers, even as a bleacher. Someone we watch the guy play, because I like his videos, man. He's very one of the biggest things that I really appreciate from him is that he didn't give up, because I know me and him talked. He had after that draft came last year, and he didn't go in the draft. A lot of his buddies went. He was pretty much down, like really down, man. He was like, and I was telling him, I said, hey, you know, show them, you know, what you could do. I mean, they may have slipped on you, but now you got to come up there and just prove to them. I have that chip on your shoulder. Say, hey, this is what you guys messed up on. You know, and playing in that level of Florida State is almost like playing an A ball or double A. I mean, you know, so you get top notch competition. So if he can handle that shit, you know, he can basically bounce right into a high league and he gets drafted.
Yeah.
Did I see right? What's the schedule? I mean, not the schedule. What's the win and loss for Florida State this year?
They went in this weekend. It was 19-0. They went in. And they had a play. The game was Friday, was canceled, so they played a double hitter Saturday. So it kind of messed up the pitcher rotation, which no excuses. The first game Saturday, they got 10 runs ruled. It was 15-5. Everything just wasn't going right. Then the second game, the same day, they bounced back. It was up 8-1 in the last inning. And don't you know, Clemson came back and ended up hitting a 3-run shot, cut it to half, and then they brought in a lefty. Dude hit a grand slam, tied it up, and then two pitches later, base hit, game over. Came back Sunday, same situation. They was up 11-2 going into the sixth. Bullpen got in some trouble, walked a couple of batters, put those guys on. Guy hit a shot. The same guy that hit the grand slam hit a another grand slam, put them up by two, then they end up leaving. Yeah.
So Clemson's tough in that SEC this year, in that conference?
They just find a way to win. The biggest thing is for them to, you know, to start off 19-0. I mean, from last year, you know, they struggled. They went 23-31, something like that.
That's why I asked you what the record was, because I read it. Now I thought I was thinking, and I was hoping it was the right information, but I was like, it went 17-0. That's how it was 17-0, 18-0, and that's why I wanted to make sure.
They got up to 19-0. They were the only D1 program that was still undefeated up until Saturday.
I'm proud. I'm proud of him, man. Really proud. He kept his head up, man. He's holding, you know, making everybody feel proud to be, you know, linked with him. He's always been a gentleman, and he still continued doing. When I do his videos, he's still looking happy because I see some of the videos. But he steals a base. Them white guys ain't used to that. They surprise. He comes home, they go crazy when he steals a base and come home. They like going crazy at him. Like, you know, and he made a good catch one day.
One thing I like about him is humility. He's always humble. You know, he always know that he has extra work, and he knows easy is easy, but hard is what he needs. You know, he always works hard on what he needs. So, cause easy
nothing
is
like
easy.
Nothing like Raphael, bro. Raphael was never humble, so that's nothing like Raphael. Good thing he's different, because Raphael was never humble. He'll tell the coach, you're going to take what he's going to steal the ball.
I was cocky, but I was humble. I knew. And you gotta understand that in my situation growing up playing ball, I came from a small little island, man, that nobody knew about. And then when I'm rubbing elbows with all these big school guys, and they can't, I'm not going to bend. I start every day. I do everything every day. Nothing I can do wrong. Man, you gotta enjoy that moment, man. Because, you know, like now, like, you know, Dixon, you always laugh at me when you say, oh, let's go play the over 50, over 60. And I always tell you, I know the body I'm in. You know, I could sit back, and like a guy like Giamis, I could sit back and enjoy him without any ill feeling like, oh, he's doing something I didn't do. No, I enjoy every moment I had, and all I could do now is live through him. You know what I'm saying? And enjoy every minute. And all the young kids that I work with them hard, because I'm living through them, because I'm happy that they got the opportunity. Because, you know, when like yourself, Dixon, I mean, you're a kid coming from Jamaica, you tell a story of those guys used to laugh at you and joke about you when you were trying to play baseball, you know?
Right.
And why not be cocky with it? I'm not saying be overly, you got to be cocky. You got to say, hey, I've done this. I went through this role, you know? Yeah, so.
We were cocky with a nice way. Eric, we didn't like, I mean, we had fun and laugh after we beat someone, but we didn't try rubbing nobody's nose. Like, I know when Ross played, do something good, you know, he couldn't help but show, you know, he had to let you know, because when he hit a home run, he stayed at home playing and watch it for like 5-6 minutes and then started jogging. But he was so big, I guess he knew they weren't going to throw the ball and they wasn't going to hit him. So, you know, all of that all way that we into the game.
Let me ask you a question. I know Ross watch a lot of college football now. His son is in the game. And I have my reservation about Ross, but the way the young men, not all of them, some of them are playing the game right now, do you still think they respect the game? You know, when they hit the home run, they flip the bat, they turn around, they do a lot of different stuff. Do you think that they respect the game in that manner?
Oh, that was for me?
That was for Ross. Yeah, that was for Ross. Because you watch more college games than I live.
Yeah. I think the game has changed dramatically, because it's not like we played. We played hard-nosed baseball. You know, I always remember when Dixon used to always come and do the clinic. He used to say, you know, a guy hit a home run off of you. The guy want to pitcher want to look at him and shake his hand and all that. Dixon was like, no, you don't shake his hand when you get a hit. So I think we still had him in town. I think these guys now, Skeet, and if you hear anybody beeping in, that's Diamis. I think he's trying to tap in. So
no,
somebody
I think
beeping in.
3-2-1 number.
Yes. Tap him in.
I'm definitely gonna let him in. I think I got. He could.
I got a hold of
something. How you doing, man? Diamis, how you doing today, man?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hey.
Yeah,
we can hear you.
What's up,
superstar?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on,
Diamis,
man?
Keith's on there too.
Hey.
We were talking about you just now, man. You just missed all the conversation we had about you, yeah?
Sorry, I just came from FCA Bible study.
Okay.
There you go.
That's what's up.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the season, man? I know the season's almost over, but how do you feel about your progress and your success for the season so far? How do you feel about that?
For this year?
Yes.
Yeah, so the team's been doing really good. Our team started off on a 20-0, undefeated, the second best in Florida State history. So that was amazing. And now we lost 3 games against Clemson, so we're fighting adversity. So we're just gonna turn it around this week. So excited about that.
That's good. How are you batting the ball? How you seen the ball this year so far? How you seeing what you're hitting the ball like? What's your numbers looking like this year?
I was starting off good. I was up to like 380, I think, and then I started. What's it called? I don't really know.
So actually, what kind of difficulties have you faced so far? What kind of challenges have you seen from high school, your last year high school, and last year to this year? What challenges are you having out there playing? I mean, what do you see that's giving you a hard time on the field so far?
Yeah, this I'll just say like injuries. I'm just trying to stay healthy. Injuries has been a big one. My freshman year, I broke 2 bones, and that put me out for the first one was a broken finger, and that put me out for like a month. And then I had to come back from that and find a groove, and that was difficult. But you know, persevered and got through that. And then towards the last 2 weeks, I broke my collarbone this season. So just trying to stay healthy.
Yeah.
No, I was going to ask him, do you have, as a hitter, do you have a preference of pitchers, lefty pitchers, righty pitchers? Well, because when I play ball, I'm a lefty hitter, and I used to love hitting on pitchers rather than righty pitchers. What's your preference at the plate?
Yeah, I like sidearm righties. I don't know why, but I just have good numbers again. I see the ball well. So I say righty sidearmers.
Gotcha.
Mm. So are you picking the ball up good this year? Anything you're doing differently this year while hitting the ball so good? Are you able to? I see the curveball. You hit one good the other day. You really are adjusting that curveball, so they're not really giving you a hard time. So what's been time? Is there anything high fastball outside curve? What's been giving you a hard time this year? If anything.
Nothing really. Just giving me a hard time. I would just say just plate discipline, like laying off inside pitches, knowing that if I'm not really looking for it, don't swing, and just to say my approach and hit it.
Okay, good. Your distance feels good. I've seen you took some of the left center. So you're hitting the ball really good, man. You're really doing a great job. Like I said, I told your dad, and I told him, Skeet, that 2 years ago after you missed the draft, you were kind of down and depressed, and I told you, hey, just show them what they missed out on. I see you bounce back, and you steal a couple bases from second to third, you know, got to run in and catch some ball off the top of the fence. So, I mean, I'm quite sure now you're on your way, my man. You're on your way. Just keep it up.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Yep.
Yeah, we all follow you, man. We all definitely follow you. Always wish you the best. I mean, I always remember. I don't even remember the Demis. Now I remember the Demis 10 years ago when you were saying what you do and how you prepare yourself, man. And your age, most kids right now, I mean, if you take their video games from them, they die. You know what I'm saying? But you go out there 5 o'clock in the morning, you working hard. And it's funny, you're a testimony. You're a living testimony of what these young kids should be, should strive to be. You know what I mean? You set your goals. You didn't expect your goals to fall in your lap. You went and grabbed your goal. You went and get it. And man, every accolade that you get in your life, in your life coming, enjoy it, because trust me, you will. And I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. I know life is very difficult now for your dad since you're gone, because for 20 years he's been getting up early, grinding, pushing. Now everybody's gone. He probably don't know what to do. He got this last year, the first free summer he had in 20 years. I called Skid. I called him and said, "Who's going to do the summer?" He said, "Man, I ain't doing nothing." I'm like, "Dang, he's throwing it. He's like, enjoy.
Yes.
Well, he's on the journey free summer, huh? You don't know what it's like to have a free summer, man. Like,
yeah.
Speaking of pitching, man, I have a young man I have to call him a young because, you know, I'm old school. And Dixon, you know him. We worked for the same organization for a while. Demon Lemons. Len, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, man. How you guys doing?
Not too bad. Well, we actually sitting here talking to Deamus Ross, outfielder for Florida State University. And this guy, man, put some work in, lefty hitter, play the outfield. I call him my mini Ricky Henderson. You know, that's what he reminds me of.
Okay, fair enough.
The guy is every bit of Ricky Henderson. I mean, every bit of him, you know. That's why I asked him what pitches, because as a lefty hitter, I used to like my left-handed pitchers because I was a slap hitter. Not him. He hit with power. So that's why I like my left-handed hitter. So give us a little roundup of who Lemon really is. What did Lemon, you know, when he played ball, what he's doing.
Oh, yeah, man. And nice to meet you guys as well. And much luck and success to you up and down Florida State. So, yeah, man, I played baseball here in Atlanta, Georgia played high school baseball here in Atlanta, Georgia as a pitcher and utility. Then had a chance to walk on in college. Actually went to college on a music scholarship, actually played instruments as well, and ended up playing baseball there for 4 years, ended up earning a scholarship. Throughout my time I was there, I was able to play a little bit in Europe, pitched in about 6 countries in Europe as well throughout the summer. And then after that, I got a chance to play some amateur and independent baseball up in New York and up in North Carolina as well with some teams that were connected with MLB expansion as well. Now I'm just running training programs with players and have my own training program, Lions by Day, Beast by Night, LLC, that I train players out of. And I also do scouting consultation with them as well, where we pretty much connect players with their own personal lane that gets them towards the goals they're looking for versus just the generic version of train, play, work hard, and you'll get there.
I'm sure you know Dixon. Dixon, say hello to Lem.
What's up, Lem? Everything good?
What's going on, man? I'm doing good, man. It's good to hear from you, man.
Yeah. I know Georgia Star, y'all still grinding. I know Ski told me y'all, you know, played a couple of games against Coach Waters the other day, so I'm glad to see you guys still pounding things up. I was telling Ski, man, we owe a lot to Coach Waters with this travel ball. Some of his rules sometimes seem kind of, but I mean, some of the rules he implemented with the parents and after the game, I told Skeet, you know, those ideas he had, man, they come handy because you get tired of kids and parents coming to you after the game when you're pissed off. And he put a lot of, you know, discipline in place. And I say, Skeet, some of those things really made us think about, you know, when you do this travel ball, you got to have some rules put in place that separate you from the parents after a bad game or after you lose a game and your son is not playing. Why my son's not playing? I mean, how you handle all that? I mean, have you able to implement those rules into your travel ball this year, into your team and stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit it right on the head. We all human, man. Like, you know, after a game, you know, obviously the objective is to win. It's competition, and you want to see the kids do well. You want to do well, and that's what everybody's trying to do. So, you know, sometimes parents, you know, they get emotional about the way things are going with their kids, and they want to express those things. But, you know, always putting the time and place behind it is important to give everybody time to defuse, not say anything out of emotion, and really just peel back, you know, how things are going. I know for my team, I have a 13-year, my players actually have, I give my players the right to ask me anything before I get to my car. So if a player has an issue with anything that happened in the game today or the doubleheader, you have until I get to my car to ask me, why did it happen that way? Why did I pull you? Once we get to the parking lot, we all let it go. We all let it go once we reach the parking lot and we move on to another day.
That's just the rule that I set
for my players.
Okay, so you kind of changed it. I know you have one rule there where it gives a 24-hour cool-down period after the game. Don't call the coach, don't talk. And it's like, you know,
yeah,
and
for parents, for sure.
For parents,
they got to stay away. But I feel like with the certain age group, if you allow the player to express it and they have their relationship with you and y'all can have that conversation, because players have asked me, you know, they after the game, they're like, hey, coach, you know, you pulled me in the fourth inning. Like, was I benched or was it a real reason? And we have that conversation, we move on, and that actually stops the parents from calling me. So over the last year I've been with this team, I've had 0 phone calls after games and tournaments.
Let me ask a question to Ross. Ross, you play ball as well, but as a dad, what was your approach with Deamus? What was your approach with the coaches that coaches him?
I would say after, you know, the experience with FTB, I think it starting off when he first got in the organization, it was a little hard for me to pull back when he was, I think it was 13U, 14U. But then after that, you know, as he got older, I already entrusted what he can and cannot do. And mostly, he pretty much carried his own weight. So I didn't really have to worry about, you know, certain things because I knew he had the skills and I know what I put into him. Now, that didn't stop for me to still kept training him once the game was over. You know, we may get in the car and talk about certain situations. But he's been driving to those games, you know, ever since, you know, he was a freshman. So a lot of those games, I wasn't available. I wasn't there, which I wanted him to feel my presence being there because I wanted him to play away from being away from that. You know, too much involvement to me as a parent would hurt the kid. I mean, if you know my story with him, and he's still on the phone, he'll tell you that traveling and staying over and watching him every weekend, no, I'm not doing all that because I know what he can do. And I think, you know, as you get older and get in college and minor league, parents ain't going to be there to watch every game. So he got it kind of hard for me from day one. And not saying I wanted to be at every game because, you know, I had my own program going on too, but also to the point that he has to feel that on his own. He has to know how to get out that rut. And I can tell you he's very mature, more mature than I was and intelligent when I played. I was more, you know, just being talented. But what he had learned from all of y'all guys and being around, you know, the program and always been around baseball, he picked up on a whole lot of things that you and I didn't have the opportunity because we was never around that environment. He stayed in that environment where he knows more than I think he overthink too much sometimes when he's playing. But for the most part, as a parent, I kind of stayed away from it because I knew that, you know, what he was capable of doing. And you know, you got to sink or swim. You got to figure that out. You know, that 2-2 pitch coming, you can't look over in the stands and see what he's going to throw. Hell, I don't know what he's going to throw, but you better have a good idea what he's going to throw. And I think that's the biggest thing about, you know, me, you know, with him, I kind of stayed off. And we'll discuss it once it's over. But, I mean, he has a good concept of what's going on more than I ever had. And, you know, guys of his age.
Yeah, he's very mature.
I tell a lot of people, like coaches like myself and all the guys who are coaching travel ball right now, I can speak for myself as a coach. The stuff that I learned as an adult, man. When I came from the Green Island, they had no professional coaching. So all the stuff that I really learned about baseball, I got as an adult, a professional athlete. So it's one of those things where these kids are very privileged to have the opportunity to learn from guys like us who know the game, who've learned the game as an adult, and you're learning what I learned in my adulthood as a young kid. You know, some parents don't. Some parents like Dixon. Some parents, you know, I hate to say it, the son can't catch a cold if they get wet.
I think the biggest thing is by them not having that background. You know, all of us played and been in that box. I mean, you know when things happen, hey, we've been there before. So, you know, I can feel his pain, you know. It's nothing that surprised me that whatever scenario he's going through, I done been through it. So, I do understand.
You
want to say anything before you leave?
What's that? Say that again.
You gotta go. You want to say anything else before you leave?
Before you go.
Just thank you for having me.
When's the next game, man?
You're part of a. We play
University of Florida Tuesday, so tomorrow.
Oh shit!
Okay.
It's in Gainesville.
It's in Jacksonville, neutral site.
Oh, good luck, man. Yeah, because they got – that's a good game, man.
How many games
you
have?
Check on them home.
You got three games?
It's just a midweek, so one. We play them three times, but once, like, every other.
Okay. Hey, good luck, man. Thanks for calling in, man. Yeah. Hey, it's a pleasure. Anytime, man. Hey, even Pops don't come on. You can come on whenever you want, man. We're on every Monday night, man. You know, you can sneak out.
You can bring one of your buddies too, man. Bring one of your buddies on. We'll speak to both of y'all. It's all good. You know, bring one of your buddies. Yeah, you can bring one of your buddies on when you come next time.
Yeah, I'm just calling and bring in Cam or some of those other guys on the team.
Yeah.
All welcome. They're welcome to speak on our show, man.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on, man.
Good night.
So I was saying it's really is as travel ball. I think Ross had it hard, but yet had it easy because Ross know what he had, what he saw in Demas. But you know, other parents. I remember when we were with Demas, I think he was like 10, and these kids were like 11, 14, 15, 16 years old, and we had that tennis ball game.
Oh, yeah.
Thomas would take him out with that tennis ball, would knock him out the park. And these guys, 14, 15 years, still don't know how to connect with a tennis racket to a tennis ball. And he was just doing it like he was just walking the park. And so sometimes, you know, you look at things and say, people looking at this kid, he's, you know, we know he's special, but it's hard to hide. Not, you don't want to hide it, but it's hard to just hide that. He's actually showing them up. I hate to say it. He's showing them up, you know. And then when you look at kids, one of the dads, that same tournament, the same practice we had, the dad saying, oh, he bought his son's bat for $150. But he can't hit a tennis ball with a tennis racket.
Yeah.
Yeah, skills and drills, man, brought him a long way. Skills and drills.
Yeah. I tell you, that concept with that tennis racket to me was to get him to have that flat bat path coming through. And as you know, with a tennis racket, kids would turn over there, hit it on the side, or they'll slice it up. And that was my whole purpose of having a tennis racket with him when he was smaller, to get him to have that flat bat path and that whip coming right through the zone. So that was something. A lot of those drills and things I was doing, I got them from overseas in Japan, but also a lot of that I was just thinking out of the top of my head. And I actually was using the diamonds as like a guinea pig of most of those things I was doing. You know, what can I do to make a kid swing like this or like that? So actually, Diamonds was the guinea pig of the whole organization of all the drills and things that I did. And we just stayed consistent with those same drills. I mean, even he came in from college last summer, winter, we work out, and he said, Dad, I think we need to go back to the noodles and the tennis racket. Hey, this dude is 20-some years old. He did that when he was 7, 8, 9, 10, you know. And he remembered that, and he was like, Dad, bring the noodles. We need to go back to the noodles. So that's something that he'll never forget. And he knows, you know, what it felt like when he had that swing or whatever he was struggling with. And those same drills he did when he was younger at 21 now, he still asked me to go back to them. And I think it's fun for us to reminisce and go back to that. Even with the little golf balls, with that little flat stick and all that, we still had fun over the Thanksgiving break when he came in and Christmas. And we worked on those same, you know, back to ground zero skills. It was lovely, man, to spend that time.
Sometimes it's called come back home, man. Sometimes you got to go back home to your old ways of doing things and make it happen. One of the things I got to talk to Lemon about this because he deal with pitchers a lot. Why is it that these young pitchers only can give you one or two and no more than one or two innings, Lemon?
funny enough, me and your guy Tony had a conversation about it this morning. Two things about that. One, just to be honest, it's baseball, and I get it. Everybody wants to see the hitting, and you know, I think a lot of coaches overlook the importance of arm care and arm strength and consistency. So you don't have I can probably count on my own one hand the amount of programs that have a true throwing program and a true recovery program, where even the 9 and 10 year olds understand that you can do other things than icing your arm to make it feel better. So when everybody's teaching throw hard and throw as much as you can, but they're not giving any structure in how to do it, what you get is kids that can throw hard for 20 pitches and they're done. It's kind of hard to redirect that path, because what happens typically once you try to get those kids out of that role, they get hurt. That's the unfortunate part about it with these new injuries they have in baseball now.
And my theory on that, too, is I think a lot of times some of the coaches just tell this guy to throw hard, and they use all arm. If you look back at the Nolan Ryans, the Roger Clemens, and the David Cone and all those guys, their main objective was they would bicycle and run all day. That's what that's the speed, strength in pitching. And a lot of times they just have these kids throw with their arms, and they look good inning one, inning two. And their legs, they use their arms so much, they don't have any more strength. But if you incorporate leg and bottom half, that is where the help of speed comes in. You know, you don't throw with your arm only. You throw with your whole body. And a lot of times these coaches just have guys thrown with that arm, and they only give you two good strong innings, and that's it. Third inning, they may give you half of it, but the rest is over. Only that as a
You playing in the outfield, you know, you playing in the outfield, and you guys get the opportunity to have a little momentum in your body and run and crow hop and stuff. You know, that same concept, that same force, that same explosiveness, you know, we try to incorporate that on the mound with the kid. You know, you want them to learn to use their legs to take the stress off their arm and feel like they can overpower people with their lower half and save their arm a little bit. But most coaches just tell them to use their legs. And when we were all 9 and 10 and 11, if somebody just said, use your legs, they end up telling what you would do.
Yeah. What happened to those two guys from Coach Warner's program, the two brothers, Mr. What's his name's son, Rucker, the little Rucker? How's he doing now?
He's doing good. He's 6'4", 160. He's 6'4", 265 now. I think he's
senior,
either leading.
Right? He's a senior.
Yeah, he's a senior in high school now. He's still playing the corners and pitching. And if he's not leading Gwinnett County in home runs, he's definitely in top five.
In home runs? Wow.
Yeah.
So on the mound, is he still decent? Still having issues on strikes on the mound? Or how's his throwing doing?
He's been doing good on the mound. Same thing Skeet just alluded to. You know, of course, I know he's not into his legs and his body as much as he could, being so unorthodox in his size. But he's still throwing the ball well and adjusting and learning how to be more flexible and things. So he's been doing pretty good.
Hitting
the ball well, he's pitching well, he's doing
all right. Yeah, hold on 1 second.
Yeah, I got a question for a minute.
Well, I'll let you get to that for a minute. We've got people listening. If anybody want to call in, ask any questions, go ahead and call 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. Again, this is a sports chat, CRS Radio Sports Chat, and more. We don't just talk about sports. We also talk about life. And any questions you may have to either myself, Lemon, or Ross. And Demis not here anymore, but I'm sure that Coach Ross can answer a lot of questions you may have for Demis. So go ahead, T.D.
Well, like I said, this week's been a good week in March Madness. I was just trying to keep it up. My assignment was to get some scores for everybody, let them know what's going on. You know, there's some upsets early in the week. Auburn lost to Yale. But the Sweet 16 is pretty much set up now. So Thursday night, Clemson's going to play Arizona. San Diego State plays UConn. Alabama plays UNC. Illinois plays Iowa State on Thursday night. And on Friday, you got Creighton playing number 2 Tennessee. Duke playing number 1 Houston. I didn't know Houston was that good this year. Gonzaga's back in the Sweet 16.
Real quick,
Houston?
Yeah. Everything he wins.
But look at Gonzaga, too. It's the ninth time they've been in the Sweet 16. I don't know how they do it, but Gonzaga, they're playing Purdue, and North Carolina State's playing Marquette. And the girls, LSU and South Carolina, man, them two, South Carolina's like 37-0. They're like, they got a B squad, man. So I don't know
North
between them, LSU.
They're well coached, man.
South Carolina.
They have a good team. Unfailed, they've done a great job in South.
Yeah. Sanford beat Iowa State, though, 87-81 overtime, so that was a good little game. So like I said, Lakers, they find a way to win. They beat the Pacers the other night. AD had
find a way.
Points, so they
Lakers don't find a way. Lakers just win. We don't find a way.
Dude, the other night they played ugly and beat Philadelphia. They said it was like an ugly win, and they found a way to beat Philadelphia the other night. I don't know how they did it, but they find a way.
I call LeBron James. I know how.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this. Who's your surprise NBA team this year so far, Lemon and Ski? What team surprised you this year, turned around their program or an NBA that surprised you?
I think Sacramento Kings.
And what about Lemon, you watching the basketball much at all? What about you, Ross?
I don't really watch too. I mean, I catch it, you know, just by reading. I like to keep up with players like, what's his name, Zion?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they keep, you know, talking about his weight and what he's not doing. But I heard he had a couple of good games, I think.
Still can't stop it.
But you don't surprise. OKC is doing good. They really don't have much of a team, but they're like number two behind Denver. OKC is doing good, and they surprised me that they're doing so good. And then the Clippers. The Clippers with they're big three. They got George and Kwame, and they picked up the bearded one this year. And then they also got your boy that came from the Lakers off the bench. What's his name? The little guy that had a triple double all the time.
Listen to this. The Clippers only 1-9. You know, they had a good first Clippers.
Yeah, they're up there above the Lakers. Yeah, I think they're like number five or six, but they might slash down, but now everybody's probably playing together. You know, Kwame gets hurt so much, so who knows when he'll be, but I think he's playing now, though. Paul George is playing, so it's going to be a good stretch down the stretch, though, because they only got like 10 or more games left, so it's going to be very interesting. The Warriors are trying to find a way to play better. I don't know what they're doing, but they're up and down. They win today, lose tomorrow. Yeah.
Miss the playoffs, they can miss the play. Well, getting back to Zion, like Ross was talking, they're giving this guy a bad rap because he's a big kid, but they still can't stop him on the way, no matter what.
And who's he playing with? He's still with Pelican or somebody. Who's he playing with?
He's still with him.
Got a guy like Stephen A. Smith talking about how he's too big and the chefs want to see him and this and that. But this guy is still doing his job on the court. You can't stop him. I mean, just leave the guy alone. Let him do what he has to do. He's still giving you 100% of the
court. Yeah, I think he lost some weight last year, made him because he was hurt 1 year. So I think he did lose some weight down. Then the other guy that played, the young guy that got in trouble all the time, the one that got suspended for the gun, now he's hurt, right? Guy from the Memphis Grizzlies.
I heard much about him at all. That's another guy who I think that if he leaves his neighborhood alone, leave them where they are. And come out and just be a great, great, because he is an awesome, great basketball player. Leave him with you and just go on and be a superstar. You know, be a superstar.
But when you're young, I think when you're young like that and got some buddies you've been friends with and you're making money, it's hard to like cut them off and then look at your friend like, oh, money got to your head. These boys years ago now. I mean, it's a tough one. You got to find a way to still be their friends, but you don't want to be all up in it because you got an image now. People's looking at you. You in a club, strippers on your lap, and you pulling out a gun in the club. I mean, it's like, come on.
Back in the day when you used to hear the old basketball players, they used to say that the gangsters protect them. The gangsters make sure they don't get in trouble.
Yeah.
The gangsters make sure they don't get hurt. The gangsters make sure, because they're the prized possession of their neighborhood. But then this one saying, the new gangsters don't know how to gangster anymore.
No.
That part. That's true. It was a time back then, Skeet, where guys would make sure that you didn't do things because they knew you had a future, you had a career, and they valued it just as much as you did. They knew they weren't going anywhere. They felt like they weren't making it, but they were looking at you like, hey, I can make it through him, and I want to make sure he stays out of trouble.
Right. Exactly. Stay in the neighborhood. Like, yeah.
Right.
So,
right. And those are the things you look at is you find out what it is, man. Guys have to learn. I don't care if you make $1 billion, $1 million, $10 million. Be smart with it, man. If you make $1 million, you should be able to make two and make three. Don't give it away.
Yeah. I think maybe we were a little more mindset because I think back in the days, we did a lot of crazy stuff when we played pro ball, men's skis. But I think the certain things, if I'm going to do something that's going to be saying the kid and see, like, yo, all room. Yeah, you can't do that. You got, boom, boom, boom. Because I mean, this time, kind of, you want to go do crazy party or do some crazy stuff with females or whatever. And, you know, he'd be like, "Yo, man, you got to think." So, I just think you got to have people around you that can hold you accountable, and hold you and say, like, "Hey, man, you know, don't do that right now. Turn to cameras. Now they got worse. There's more cameras now. In our days, we could get away with certain things, but now,
yeah,
now you can't even pee. You can't even pee cook it on the street because somebody got you on video.
Well, let me tell you something. Man. This is probably something that it's because when we used to when I used to play, and I think you were my roommate at one time. So I'm gonna let the cat out of the bag a little. When we went and party, you know what we party? We party at the house. We would go in some of the girls' ear or whatever. Say, hey, meet me at such and such, and we go home.
Yeah,
we're not in the club 3:20. We're doing our party. We stop off at the liquor store, whatever it is, and go to the apartment, the house, and we party there.
Yeah.
You understand? We never hung out with them. So these kids, you know, they go now. You have the social media, and they themselves are killing themselves by doing selfies. You know?
Yeah. We had people cared about us. They wanted our team to win, so they would snitch on us. Hey, coach, I saw XYZ out at 1 o'clock. With, you know, he'll say the next day, who was out of this club? He's coming. So we all try to, like, be mindful. Like, you know, we don't want to get in trouble because he might bench us tomorrow because we was at the club till 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. So we did it. We just went to the house. I mean, because some people back in the day, they were telling you because they want to win. I mean, it was important to the city we lived in. They want to win. So if you're out there not performing, they would tell coach on.
I remember, I think I was in the mind games with Orioles at this time, and we were out. And there's a thing when you out partying and the coach and the manager walk in the bar, we got to leave. It's like an unwritten rule. Leave.
Yeah.
So, like maybe 8 or 9 of us at this bar, and the manager came in, and about 4 or 5 of us left. The manager tapped the other people. And the next morning, there was a note on the door by the locker room. Right when you walk in, you see it. Those 2 guys who stayed back was fine. He bought all their drinks that they wanted. And when they got to the clubhouse the next day, I think it was like almost $150 a piece fine. It was like, well, you told us, the guys, well, you told us to stay. He go, but the others left. Like, you stayed. You know? The common rule is that if a manager walk in a restaurant or walk in a club or walk in a bar, you leave. You got to go. Not, you don't have to, but that was just one of those cardinal rules where, and I was asking Ross earlier about the etiquette of baseball. Now when I look at young guys, even 12 years, 13 and 14, they hit a home run, they flip their bat, they turn around, they do all kind of finger stuff, run the base. In my case, somebody's getting hit in the head.
Oh, yeah.
And I know if my teammate just hit the ball and flip the bat, I know I'm getting hit. I'm not going to fight. I'm getting hit. I'm going to fight him for flipping his bat.
Yeah.
So let me ask Lemons. Lemons kind of old school. Lemons, so you're a pitching coach. Your pitcher just gave up a home run, a shot or something. So what are you going to tell him to tighten up inside, brush the guy to play the next guy? Or what's your philosophy on stuff like the guys, you know, hitting home runs, looking at the ball and then guys hitting the home run, shaking guys' hand at third base. So I told Ross a couple years ago, I see kids, a guy at home run, the guy went to third base and greeted the guy at the home run and shook his hand. I'm like, what the hell is that? Who does that shit? I just couldn't believe it.
I probably study a kid and teach kids to study the home run swing more than anything. Because we're gonna attack that hitter heavy inside the next at bat, and we're gonna go right after. I try to get my kids to keep a stat of how many guys hit a home run off you, and then you get your get back twice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm definitely in heavy support of going inside heavy, up and in heavy. But I put it like this: I always tell pitchers, if the batter ain't afraid of you, it's a problem. I tell pitchers take that and run with it the best way you can. I know one guy who was really good at it by the name of Randy Johnson, I know he was really good at striking fear in the guys in the box before he even went after him. So I always tell guys look at it from that perspective. You know, if the hitter got more confidence than you in the box, then you know it's going to be a downhill battle. And if throwing one fastball up and in or one fastball in at his hip changes his whole approach, and you don't do it, you're not hitting yourself as a pitcher.
Mm-hmm. What about the third base? Greeting the guy at third base, let me. How do you feel about that? Greeting the guy at a home run off, going to third base and shaking his hand.
I've never seen that before. I've never done that and seen that done before. I've heard about it. I've never personally seen it done, but I don't understand where it came from.
Yeah, somewhere in Florida, I guess. Well, I don't know.
A lot of hitters don't understand this. Well, a lot of hitters don't understand. If the pitcher is throwing his best breaking pitch, you ain't gonna hit it. So why not concentrate? Why not concentrate on what you hit best, which is a fastball? So if he's throwing a good curveball or a good slider, nine times out of ten, you're not going to hit it. It's sharp. So concentrate on the fastball. Work on your fastball.
So now you foul off the fastball, and he got you 1-2. So what's happening now? You don't foul off the fastball. He throws over the curveball. He came up with the fastball. Now he got you 1-2. What you doing now?
But the same thing. The same thing. If you think fastball, knowing that you're thinking fastball, D. Your back, right? So your hands are back enough to hit a breaking pitch. It's not like you're looking for a breaking pitch, and then there you go flying open. And then you go.
Well, I was on the mound,
those are my favorite hitters.
I was on the mound. Give me an input on your approach.
Well, I can tell you now, pitching has definitely changed from when we played, because we can pretty much guess what the pitcher was going to throw by the way he nodded his head, because you knew one was fast, two was off speed. So you knew back then if he shook his head or nodded, we knew one or two pitches was coming. Now these kids got an arsenal of pitching that, you know, even at full count, they throwing sliders and curves where you would say, you know, he came with that. I mean, they starting you off, they pitching backwards now. And I think a lot of that is a lot of pitching coaches like are now, you know, hitters. I know when I coached travel ball and I had my program, I knew what they would throw to me in that situation, and they never expected. So, you know, certain times I would call that curveball at full count if that pitcher can get it over for a strike. And that was devastating. You know, some of the guys, why are you calling that pitch? Because he don't expect it to come. Like, same thing about when I was playing, I wasn't expecting that pitch to come. If you would have threw that on me, then I knew, you know, you would have had me. But now I think these pitchers now are throwing now, 3-0 take. They don't even do that no more. 3-0 take, they hack it.
That's why we teach a 3-0 change or 3-0 slider, because we know it's a green light on 3-0.
That's true because I call my pitches, and I call exactly opposite to what I would be looking for.
Exactly. And because you are here, I can understand your concept. Yep.
So Lemon, does it matter what part of batting order you do that? If it's 3-0? Like if you're down 7-8-9 batter, you're not gonna throw him a fastball, just say fuck it, throw him a fastball.
Well,
like the kids, 7-8-9.
If we're talking high school, college baseball rotation, when I'm working with those guys, yeah, we pitch in more patterns where we're looking at 1-2 a certain way, we're looking at 3-6 a certain way, we're looking at 7-9 a certain way. But travel ball and the lower levels where guys are still getting experience. I'm teaching my younger players. We just actually worked on this Tuesday night. I'm teaching my younger players 2-0, 2-1, 3-0, 3-1, 3-2. We are coming breaking ball heavy. We're coming breaking ball heavy, and preferably with a changeup because the kid has a green light. I spend a lot of time with I talk to a lot of the travel coaches who played in college or they've had their own programs and they played minor league and major league baseball. They ask them, you know, what do they teach their hitters? What are their swinging counts? When are they in swing mode? When are they in yes mode? And they all come in those same counts. Basically, exactly what you said. You know, I took the pitcher's approach and said, okay, well, we're going to do the opposite. Where does every count that they're looking for a fastball? Let's put a change up there. What's every count where they expect you to not throw your curveball because they already saw spike it in the dirt? Let's throw it again.
Yeah.
I asked the hitter the other day, did you expect the pitcher to throw you back-to-back curveballs? He said, no. I said, great. So when you get on the mound, you do the hitter the same way. You give him two curveballs back-to-back because he's not going to expect it. And it gives the younger pitchers, it gives them a little grace because they already know this kid is not expecting to see this pitch. Nobody is.
Yeah, that's true.
They have more confidence and trust to throw it because they're not worried about it getting hit. They're more confident in the fact of this kid's looking fastball.
I never like to waste pitch either when I coach it. I don't want to waste a pitch because if I know I can get that guy who got two strikes, I'm gonna pound it on him. I'm gonna make him hit it. So a lot of that, you know, when they have that 3-0 or whatever, they don't swing.
Like Cross, you got 0-2 on your hitter, and you're calling a pitch on your pitcher. What do you call?
Who, me?
Coach Ross.
I like outside. I always like fastball away because that's always something as a righty hitter and all hitters have problems with. Something, if you can paint that corner, something that's close on that corner, I always like to go away because a lot of people don't feel comfortable hitting anything away.
Yeah, they don't even like to kick that shit outside corner. They'd be like, it's too far away, it's too far away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, a lot of the hitters hit away. Almost far from the line in the box. They don't like going up to the box at all.
There you go. Yeah.
Wow, but that's interesting.
Sometimes you look at some of the players, and you like, I work with some kids one-on-one, and they love, they would go at an outside pitch, but they lean so much, they want to hit the outside pitch way up at the front of the plate. I'm like, dude, you're not going to hit it that way. You're not going to hit an outside pitch in front of the plate. You're actually telling yourself you're not going to hit it, you know? Let the ball come and hit it in the back of the plate, you know? And then kids don't understand, so I have to actually show them what I mean by hitting the back of the plate. I'm not saying to hit the catcher. I'm saying hit it from this angle. Always going to be. So it's kind of crazy sometimes when you work with kids. But getting back to the of parenting, I have – some parent will come up to me and say, why isn't my son playing?
I was good to ask y'all that. Yeah.
Okay.
How do y'all handle that one?
I handle it. I hit him straight between the eyes. I would say, Mom, Dad, did you see them practice? Straight, honestly.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see how they practice? Because I make my lineup. I would tell the parents this. I make my lineup off of practice, not playing.
Yeah.
When you give me 110% practice and you do everything you can in practice, whether you do it right or wrong, but you give me 100%, you have a chance of playing in the lineup. But if your son, if I hit a ground ball to your son and he can't field it, I hit a fly ball and he can't run it down, how am I going to put him in the game?
Yeah.
I let him. And then they would say, well, you only have him hitting. It's part of the game. EH is part of the game. These parents think if EH is, they're sent the kid not playing.
Yeah.
I said, Mom, Dad, he's on the bases. He's running bases. I mean, he's playing.
Sometimes I realize that the son's not that good. They be in denial. They got to realize your son's not as good as Johnny. I mean, so you can't expect your son to play with Johnny, and Johnny's a little better than your son. They got to just come to reality. And we as coaches, sometimes got to put them in their reality check and say, hey, I mean, I like your son. I understand you want to play, but he has to work his way up because Johnny's a lot better than your son.
You got to be honest with parents. Because if you hit a word between the eyes, you would understand. But when a coach, goes, well, if you practice every day, you can get a chance. A mom told me that. The opposition with really told him to come to practice every practice to get a chance. I looked at her in the eyes and said, they're lying to you. I did.
Yeah.
I respect that. I said, they're lying to you. I said, he can practice every day and don't make a difference. He's not improving. But it's up to him to improve him, help him improve. I'm going to help him improve.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, another kid I had, my 12-year-old, he hardly come practicing. One day he didn't come to Saturday, Ross. He didn't come Saturday. So I had my 1-6 was killing the ball, right? So he came this Sunday. I put him in my 8-hole.
Okay.
Didn't have a good game. After the game, my dad said, oh, there he is. Ask him what? You know, like that. So I'm like, well, what's going on, man? Coach, why did you have me hitting 8? I said, number one, you weren't here yesterday. Number two, the number 1 to number 6 was hitting the ball well. Where do you think you're in between the 1 and 6? I said, you have to prove to me that you do something as an 8-place hitter. The next tournament, you could be up there, because he's attacking all the time. He fell back. So not because you get the same position, you're going to think you lost the position. I said, matter of fact, you lost a shortstop. I have a new shortstop.
Wow.
And some of the data said that. So now your time is to play second base or third base. See if you can take that position. But you can't shortstop. You got already shortstop. I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I told you.
It happens. You've been real with it.
Competition.
You have to tell them.
Competition has been taken away from baseball. Well, probably sports in general. When it comes to a group setting, you're talking about, I got to compete.
Yeah, the participant trophy took that over. You know, everybody get a, no, you better play hard to win it.
Yeah.
And parents expect you to give this son a position because they paid their fee They paid $100 for a registration fee, and they want John to play. You know, they paid their fee, so they want John to play.
Exactly. A parent called me last week and says, "Coach, my son's not coming back." I said, "Okay, cool. No problem. Excellent." Right?
That was my next question for you and Lemon.
Yeah. You'll call Lemon next week and get a spot now. You'll call Lemon's team and try to get a spot. They travel around.
Be the same amount of playing time everywhere you go.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was my question. How y'all continue to retain players? A lot of parents are jumping from program to program, and how can you retain your players?
Exactly.
I'm in a pipe dream. So I actually have 8 players that I've had for 2 years consistently now. For whatever reason, I don't know what's in the sauce or the wine the parents are drinking or whatever, but they actually all get along. It's the weirdest thing ever. This is the first time I've ever experienced it, and that's why I have no playtime issues. I have no egos, and if they do, they're doing it behind closed doors amongst themselves. They're not bringing it to our organization. But I have 14 players on a 13-U team. I have 4 left-handed pitchers. I have 5 catchers out of that group. And, you know, may the best man win. Like I tell the parents, these boys getting ready to go to high school, so I'm not about to baby them before they go into an environment where somebody's going to expect them to know everything and be better than the junior and the senior. They got to learn these turf lessons and this adversity now. And it's not going to be everybody's path is different. Everybody wants the easy route. What's wrong sitting behind a guy, learning, getting it right, getting some experience, and then when it's your turn to go, you get out there and do it. So many people's success stories come out of that. And for whatever reason, because you paid your money, your son got to play in all 3 of these tournament games, and he's on bat, .16, .15, and made 7 errors, and he's not going to learn from any of those mistakes, but you're mad because I'm not playing him enough. You can't make the kids run from competition. I randomly invite kids to my tryout, and I randomly invite kids to my practice as if they're going to try out for the team throughout the middle of the season. I just randomly try kids out, just continuously doing it, not for money or not for to add to the roster, but to keep my parents and my kids sharp. And I know it's working because people will come back to me and say, "Hey, are we adding players? Are you about to release a player? What's going on? We know you have people get on their toes about that shit." And I say, "Well, hope your son doing what he's supposed to do."
Yeah.
Because trying the kid out means that I'm replacing the kid. That's exactly what that means. So if you're doing what you're supposed to do, then you shouldn't have no problem. It's like when you go to high school, if you're in 10th and 11th grade and you're balling out doing your thing, and these high schools in Georgia, they're like a transfer and fly kids in.
Yeah,
you should have no problem when a new kid comes to the school. That shouldn't affect you.
And they got to realize that travel ball and rec ball are 2 different things. You know, these parents got to realize because John is an all-star in rec park ball, he come to your program, travel team, and he's not playing as much. And he was all-star and for 13-U and 14-U all-star. They got to realize it's a different type of ball. It's a different type of caliber ball game. You know,
we used to learn that through different sports, though. You might be the man in football, but when basketball season come around, you might be 6th man. When baseball season come around, you might be a utility guy, or you might pitch more than you play the field, or you might play outfield more than infield. Then you get back to football season, you only play wide receiver. Like, you know, it's the difference, the things that you learn from playing multiple sports and being in that adversity on different playing fields, you kind of mature into understanding those roles.
Definitely. Well, I know we've accomplished a lot tonight, Steve.
We definitely did. We got a couple more minutes. So, Lemon, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate you. We got to do this again. So you hear from me again, man. Thanks for coming.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, well, I appreciate the invite. Love talking to you guys.
Yeah, man. Thank you. So, like I said, I know we've been going quite a while. I don't know what time we had the clock set for, so we don't.
Well, about a minute and a half. So, Ross, if you've got anything to say, man, go ahead. We'll listen.
I'm going to jump off. I just appreciate y'all guys, connecting back, and I'm glad Yamas was able to get on and talk so y'all could hear him. And
the voice sounds so different back then. It was like a little baby voice. That was a grown man talking.
Hey, so I appreciate everything.
Skeet, we're trying to put some guys to go to St. Martin this year too. I know you got some time from baseball. We find the kids that you know. Me and Skeet taking the team
second
to St. Martin.
I got invited to a baseball tournament. I think it's like six islands that each St. Martin. Second week in November. Ross, they're putting us up and they give us one meal a day for like 4 days, 5 days, and there's no age limit.
Unless if Deanna's home during that Thanksgiving break, see if he want to come with us. Because I wanted him to go last year, but I know he was busy. So he might like
it. With that program they have with him at Florida State, all that stuff they do, carrying that notebook around and all that. It's tough. They run that program like the pros, man.
Oh, so Thanksgiving they stay home. He don't come down for Thanksgiving.
You don't want to get like that at all.
No, he comes home, but what I'm saying, he has their program, what they're supposed to be doing, and they got to keep a record of it. They got to call in. Yeah, it's intense, man. That's, there's stuff they fill out. They got an ankle bracelet on, and they track the kids, what they eat, what time they sleep, man. It's big time now, man. That boy don't have time to do anything extra.
Hey, but even if it boils down, if he can go for the trip, don't play. Just go and enjoy the trip. That would be nice, you know. Like I said, all we got to do is go down there, and they take it. So I don't want a guy to get hurt, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But if he could come, man, it'll be awesome just to come enjoy the trip, you know. But that would be nuts.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, about 9:40.
We'll do this again.
Okay, guys. All right.
Thank you,
sir. Good night, guys.
Thanks. Any last words before we hang up, man? Before we get ready to go? I mean, I know you always got something crazy to say, so go ahead. Don't stop now.
Well, I'm just liking that my skills have been so active doing this, you know, wheeling and dealing, trying to get some receivers, and they got, you know what I'm saying? So this is the first time I've been still a fan that they actually went off into the, you know, free agent market. They normally don't do that because they use people within.
They're looking.
Why? Because your Cowboys in trouble?
Cowboys got Dak. They got Dak. Dak
yeah, they got. I mean,
in the regular season.
So they gonna pay Dak? They gonna do what they got? Oh, they gonna pay what they gave Cousins or what? Well, I know he's extending his contract.
So Dak, he's supposed to play that. They got what's his name left? The running back gone.
Yeah, the running back. He went to Tennessee. Yeah. And then the guy from Tennessee went to the Ravens. I mean, man, this gonna be
Ravens. Rich, you talking about richer? Ravens just got richer with them as a running back. That's crazy.
Ravens got the guy from what's his name? They got your boy from
Derrick Henry.
Derrick
Henry with the Ravens is crazy. The running game they got already with Lamar back there with him. Oh my God, NFL is in trouble. But you see NFL the ban on the hip tackle?
They don't ban hip tackle.
They already did. You can't tackle a guy on the hip no more. You can't bring him down from the hip. They banned it.
Wow.
Where are you going to tackle a guy from?
I guess you got to grab my back, huh?
Man. Yeah, they're getting rid of everything. The NFL really stands for no fun. It's a no fun NFL.
You're right.
You know?
No fun. They can't. No party, no celebrating, or nothing. It's weird.
That's like,
man,
baseball. Baseball has this time limit. And people go to baseball and spend all day at the field. They ain't went there to go for an hour and come back. They go to spend the whole day.
So was it hour 30 minutes? Hour 30 minutes? They gonna make the game like quick and over?
That's what. I think that was stupid.
Well, I think because Big Pop, they say to take a long guys to draw the game out, and so now they're trying to get the game over 2 hours.
But there's only one or two would take long. It's only one or two would take long. Not everybody. You can't kill a game because for one or two for everybody.
But anyway,
I just want to say, hey D, thanks for coming on, man. It was a pleasure having you on.
Pleasure. Just keep
me posted, Roman. I definitely will. This also goes on Amazon Music. So in a couple of days, you could go on Amazon Music and listen to the whole show all over again.
And next week, maybe I can log on my computer and I can just chill out and pull up on it. Because I tried it today, but I didn't ask you. It's one person at a time. Something like that. So,
but before you had an opportunity to do that, so I gotta ask Mr. Reed what's going on. So we'll definitely talk. So we'll be back on again, guys. The German Sports Chat, the CRS Radio Sports Chat, and more.
We'll be back on again next Monday at 8 o'clock. We're going to do an hour and a half show now instead of just an hour. Thank you, Dixon.
Oh, hour and a half now.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Going
hour
and a half now. Mm-hmm.
It's a half hour because it's going well. It's going fast. So we add a 30 minutes extra on it. So, you just let me know when the time that we're going to give you a time slot, give you one time slot to come on and make things happen, do the scores and highlights and everything.
And I get some guys interview. Got a couple guys you can interview next week to stretch the time out.
Just let me know.
Okay, buddy. Thank you, man.
All right. So much for coming. I appreciate it. All right. Thank you. Again, thanks you guys to CRS Radio with Sports Chat and more. We will see you guys again next week. We had a little technical difficulty tonight. So we start our show at 8:30 instead of 8 o'clock. Next week, we're going to be back at the 8 o'clock starting time. And again, you listening and you want to call in, the number is 661-467-2407. That's on our calling number next week as well. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next week, Monday at 8 o'clock.
Some people just know there's a better way to do things, like bundling your home and auto insurance with Allstate, or hiring someone to move your piano instead of doing it yourself. Things the better way. Bundle home and auto and save up to 25% with Allstate. Bundled savings vary by state and are not available in every state. Saving up to 25% is the countrywide average of the maximum available savings off the home policy. Allstate Vehicle and Property Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. We'll be right back.